So, Bezrat Hashem, we are still in Torah Lamed Gimel, page 94, on the right side. והתורה נקרא טוב, and the Torah she's called good, שנאמר, this is been said, כי לקח טוב נתתי לכם, I gave you a good lesson, good education, and also, ונקרא אור, we're calling the Torah light, כמו שכתוב, like this is written, ותורה אור, the Torah is light. What do you want for me? It's not my fault. This is what it's written in the Quran. Just reading from the books. What do you want for me?
To play.
Yes, Gam Ken Tzadikim, and they are also righteous people. Shem Tzfunim Umustarim, that they are hidden and covered. Shein HaOlam Kedai Lishtamesh Bayam, that the world is not worthy to enjoy from those righteous people. I remember that I had a very big problem once in my life, and I made few times 6 hours in Bodhidut on that issue, and nothing moved. Nothing at all moved. And one time Rav Shalom asked someone to bring something to the tune of Rav Levovich in Nebrak, and that person couldn't go. So I went. And when I came there, so Rav Shalom was there, and I brought that thing, and I met Rav Shalom on the tzion of Rav Lubavitch. And he prayed, and it was mamash amazing, siyata dishmaya, and he prayed. And then when he finished to pray, so I came to him. So he told me, let's go. He went already to over to the car, and then I talked to him on my problem, that he was aware to it. He told me nothing is moving, so he told me, let's go to Rav Levovich. And he took me to the tzion, and he took my head down, put my head on the tzion, and he prayed something. He said, please, Rav, said few words, maybe 10 words. And then he said, this is it, don't worry, it's finished. And actually it finished in that day. In that moment it finished. That problem disappeared, totally disappeared. And a few days ago, I went to the tzion of Rav Levovich, and I was praying over there, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and one moment before that I went out, I put my hand on the tzion, on top of the tzion, and I started to cry. And I said to Rav Levovich, I told him, it's so humiliating that I can stand here for hours, and to pray, and to pray, and to pray, and just only when Rav Shalom is going to stay, then my prayer is going to rise somewhere. Then something is going to move. And I'm going to pray and pray and pray. Nothing is going to move. Until the Rav is going to do something. And then it's so humiliating. And then yesterday, I made a long Itvodudut at night, Baruch Hashem. And in that Itvodudut, suddenly, I remembered that one time I told you that I took Rav Shalom to record a CD for the children in the studio in the Ulpan. And over there, he was making his kashrut, bonding himself. And while that he was bonding himself, it took him a few minutes, maybe something like 10 minutes, 7 minutes, to bond himself, to say, please, Rosh Hashanah, by the merit of my rabbis, of Rabbi Nachmani Breslev, of Rabbi Yudha Zevovich, and according to their wisdom, and we're counting on them, by their merit, by their power. And he was canceling himself totally to them. And then I realized, why you're not achieving things by yourself in your Itbodedut? Why you need Harav to achieve that thing for you? Because when you're praying, you're separating yourself from Harav in a certain way. But if you in your Itbodedut always gonna cancel yourself to Harav, so also your tefillah is gonna rise, so to speak, without Harav. Even without Harav. It's not really that Harav is not gonna be there, just actually you're gonna bring him. Without physically to be there, spiritually he's going to be there. So this is what it is written here. That the righteous people are hidden, and they're so holy that people cannot use them. There is a Rav Levovich. You cannot use him. You don't have the language, not the Hebrew. You don't have... I cannot understand him. Couldn't sit and talk to him. This is why actually I never met him. Just only saw him twice in my life. Because I didn't have those vessels. I couldn't. I didn't have those abilities. So you need to attach yourself to a middleman, to Rav Shalom, that he can connect you. And if you don't have the vessels, to Rav Shalom, so you need someone to be there for. And on and on, it's like that. And the humiliation that there is in it, that you cannot connect yourself to Hashem, to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what it brings the vessels actually to receive from Hashem, from Moshe, from the Torah. So those righteous people, they're too far, they're too big, they're too huge, but if we're going to accept on ourselves to humbleize ourselves, to bring us low, to surrender, to humiliate ourselves, so then we're going to be able to receive from those righteous people. So this is what the Rabbeinu is saying. She'en ha'olam kedai lishtamesh b'hem. The people don't have the merit to use them, to enjoy from them. The tzaddik nikra tov, and the righteous man is called good also. Kemo shekatuv, like that it's written, imru tzaddik ki tov. You can say that the righteous man is good. Venikra or, and also we're calling the righteous man light. Kemo shekatuv, like that it's written, or zarua la tzaddik. The light is planted for the righteous man.
Sown
for the righteous man. וכשיתגלו הצדיקים הצפונים, and when the hidden tzaddikim, righteous people, are going to be revealed, והתורה הצפונה, and the hidden Torah are going to be revealed, אז יתגלה שלום רב בעולם. Then שלום רב going to be revealed in the world. Then הרב שלום going to be revealed in the world. Hidden tzaddikim, hidden Torah. Like we said yesterday, we read it yesterday. You remember the shiur of yesterday, or that you're forgetting from one door to the other? Yesterday we were here. You remember that we were here? So Rabbeinu said over there yesterday that in the future to come, what's going to be in the future to come? In the future to come, Yirbe Shalom, the peace is going to increase. This is what it's going to be. This is the only thing that's going to be. So now Rabbeinu is saying, "Shitgalu atzadikim atzfunim," and you know that in this generation, the hidden tzadikim are being revealed more and more and more, and there is a lot of stories that are being revealed. And in other generations, people weren't almost talking about it at all. And in this generation, a lot of people suddenly they have a connection to this righteous man and that righteous man, and tzadikim are revealing themselves in this generation a lot more than in other generations, is itself, Baruch Hashem. And the hidden Torah that is being revealed, like we explained it yesterday, that the hidden Torah, it's not the secret of the Torah, it's the spirit of the Torah, the truth of the Torah. And what it means? It means the peace, again, the love, the patience, the Ahavat Torah, the Ahavat Am Yisrael, or Shirba Shalom, like we said, the faith, the emunah, the people are going to believe in Hashem Yitbarach while they're learning, they're not going to forget Hashem because of the sugiyot, the complex sugiyot. And then, when those things are going to be revealed, the righteous people and the hidden Torah, Azayit Gale Shalom Rav Baolam. Very good. שיתחברו כל הפכים יחד, that all of the, how you say, הפכים, opposites, gonna be connected. This is the secret of Shalom Bayit. In the Shalom Bayit, you're both opposites. There is no, you're totally different. If you're looking for someone in Shiduchim, if you're looking for someone that's gonna be like you, forget it. It's hell. It's hell. If you're gonna find someone that's gonna be just like you, it's gonna be hell for you. Why it's gonna be hell? Because she also wants to be a male. She also wants to lead the house. She also knows always what to do. And you're gonna have to say amen and to run after her and to be the female, to cook and to clean and to do whatever. This is gonna be the reality. This is why a man should understand that his shiduch, his zivug, have to be totally different than him. And your effort in Shalom Bayit is to build a bridge, the golden bridge, always to compromise, always to accept, always to give compliments, to love, to support, to heal, to hug, to to respect. כמו שכתוב, like that it's written, that it's going to come in the future. In other generations, it never happened that people had to work so much on Shalom Bayit. People didn't have problems of Shalom Bayit like we have in this generation. The husband, he would just say, what are we doing? And if she would accept it, she would stay in the house. And if not, she would go back to her parents, and this is it. Or that she would get beaten until she would do what the husband said. And I'm talking on holy houses, on normal houses. No woman would open her mouth. It doesn't exist that women can talk. They were on mute. This was a different software program. They were programmed differently than in this generation. Now, Bor Olam gave them the power to talk. Why Bor Olam gave them the power to talk? Why Bor Olam gave them the power to talk? Because Bor Olam wanted us to fix things that we haven't fixed in all of the generations that we were neglecting. So now Bor Olam wants us to work on those things, so he's opening the mouths of the wives. And now they're arguing and fighting. So actually, you can know them only through those arguments. If she's quiet all of the time, you're never going to know who is she. Only when someone is opening his mouth, you can start to understand who really he is. If he's not talking, you're never going to know him. You can think that he's a genius and he's very stupid. You can think that he's stupid, but he's a genius. Because he's quiet. You cannot know nothing about him. So when people are talking and it starts with arguments, then you can learn. Then you can connect, you can bond the opposites, the hafachim. כמו שכתוב, like that it's written, וגר זאב עם כבש, that the wolf is going to live with a sheep. You need to choose if you're going to be the wolf or the sheep. This is it. כי אז יתגלה האהבה שבדעת, because then the love that's in the wisdom is going to be revealed. Like we explained, that love that is not depending on nothing, it's the love that the father had to his son before that his son born. הנקרא יום אחד, that is called one day, יוודע להשם, people going to know Hashem. What it means? היינו האהבה שבדעת. The people going to know how much Hashem loves them. אשר הוא לא יום ולא לילה. That there is no day in that time and no night. It's all illuminating. The moon going to illuminate like the sun. And actually in books of Kabbalah they're explaining that after the Tikkun, the moon going to illuminate more than the sun. The moon is going to illuminate more than the sun after the salvation, after the Geula. The light of the moon, the light of the faith is going to be a lot stronger even than the light of the Torah. Today the Torah is reviving us. A man that's not learned Torah cannot hold on. Even if he wants to hold with faith and he's just doing his bodhidiyot, he's not holding on if he's not learning. Have to have his daily schedules, mamash, classes, to learn every day to learn halachot, every day to learn gemara. If not, you can forget it. I said it to a lot of guys like that. I heard a lot of times from Rav Shalom, avrechim that survived, that hold on in the yeshiva, are only avrechim that had very good sidre limud. That they were sitting and learning in a serious way, always, every day, even in hard times. Only like that you can succeed. For sure that you can fall, if you have fallings, if you have to go, if you need to work on something, chase up the panasah, help the wife, she doesn't feel, I don't know what, every situation, you can understand. But, always to want to learn Torah, and when you have the opportunity, to jump back to the classes, to the shiurim, to the sdarim. If a man doesn't have it now, he cannot survive. Without the sun, without the Torah Kedoshah, he cannot hold on. But in the future to come, we're going to understand that actually the faith was always and always going to be a lot stronger. The real connection, the real love between Am Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the faith. Because Avraham Avinu, that he was the head of the believers, not the head of the learners. He had a connection to Bore Olam that was established on faith, on conversation, on prayers, on love, on faith, and confidence. And without Torah, it came and after it, after a while, after a few generations, how many generations from Moshe, Abraham to Moshe? Few. Ten chiyuk. Very good.
Six.
I don't know. I can nod to every answer that you're going to give. I don't know. All right, Rabbi. We have a few hundred years over there. So all good. Baruch Hashem. Let's continue. Hayinu she'ahava hazoti, and then that love, hi lemala me'azman, that is above time, ulemala me'amidot, and it's above all measurements and all of attributes. Ve'afilu b'amidot atzman, and also inside of the attributes, inside of the measurements, the size, the limits, kol echad lefi b'chinato, everyone according to his aspect, to his abilities, hu b'chinat da'at. He is an aspect of wisdom, labchina shetachtea, to the aspect that's under it. Means that in every place that you're standing, you're illuminating to the level that is under you. And even if you feel that you're in the lowest place of them all, the truth is that it's not true. Like the story that we heard on Rabbi Akiva and his wife, that they were suffering from horrible poverty, and Rachel, and they had only Straws. It depends if you're from Brooklyn or from Miami. Trust me. Baruch Hashem, Hashem's got mercy on us that he haven't brought students from Australia yet to our class. But they're gonna come. So, and they had that very hard poverty, very hard poverty, and then someone knocked on their door and asked for a little bit. Yes. And he, because he said that his wife, she's in labor, and they doesn't have nothing, not a blanket, nothing to cover her, and not a mattress, nothing. And then they realized that even they, in that hard, horrible poverty, they had something that someone else didn't have. So in every place that you are, you're illuminating to the level that is under you. And even if you feel that you're the lowest one of them all, for sure it's a lie. For sure it's a lie. Am Israel are illuminating to the wide world. All of the world has been fed, enjoyed from us, from what we're doing. And even if you're doing the smallest mitzvah of them all, the smallest thing of them all, you don't know how much shefa and bounty you're giving to the world. And even if no one knows that, I heard from one of my friends, one of the avochim from the yeshiva yesterday, that a few years ago he came to Rav Shalom, and he was totally broken, totally, totally broken. This is the same person that I told you about him, that one time he came to Rav Shalom with the problems of poverty, very hard, and Rav Shalom told him, this is how you're paying on your tshuva. Do you want to keep on paying, or you want to stop your payments? Your tshuva depends on your suffering. So now you want to keep on suffering, or is it enough for you? So that man came once to Arav with a lot of difficulties, very hard time, and Arav looked at him like that and he told him, you don't see your neshama, but I can see your neshama. And I'm telling you that your neshama is very special, and it's illuminating very much. And also, you don't see the mitzvot. You don't see the light of your peot and the light of your tzitzit. But I can see them. And I'm telling you that they are illuminating very much. That they are very bright. That there is a lot of light that comes out from you. So even that you cannot see it, count on me. Why do you care? Trust me. I'm telling you that you're illuminating. That your neshama is succeeding. That you're growing. Trust me. What do you care? I can see that. I'm telling you that it's all very nice. Count on me and keep on going. So, this is the truth. This is how life are going. You cannot see, because like I said last week, if you're going to see the light, the reward on one mitzvah that you kept, on one mitzvah, you're going to feel such a huge satisfaction that's going to fulfill all of your vessels. You're going to feel, this is it. You're going to be so thankful to Hashem. This is going to be my reward on one mitzvah. Because the reward on one mitzvah is larger than all of this world. The world cannot contain the reward on one mitzvah. All of the sea and all of the views and all of the smells and all of the tastes and all of the music and all of the satisfactions and all of the wisdoms of this world, none of them can contain the reward on the smallest mitzvah, on the worst mitzvah, mitzvah with defects and with lackings and a twisted, awkward mitzvah that you kept out of I don't know what, lack of awareness, mamash, and accidentally you made that mitzvah. It's not your fault that you kept that mitzvah, mamash, it was... What can you do? You made that mitzvah. Even that mitzvah got more light and more satisfaction than it come out for me, more than that all of this world can contain. This is why we cannot enjoy and understand the reward, the importance of the schar mitzvot, the reward that we're going to receive on the mitzvot. Because if you would have seen only one, and the smallest one of them all, you would stop serving Hashem Yitzbarach from the excitement, from the happiness, from the joy. But Hashem Yitzbarach wants to give you millions times more. Millions of times more. That you're going to keep more mitzvot and more mitzvot. This is why He's hiding the light of your success. That you're going to keep on taking more and more and more. Like yesterday we said, those failures are pushing you to come back to the yeshiva to learn again. Those failures in Shalom Bayit sending you again to the field to do tshuva. Like that story that Rav Shalom said on that poor man that one day he heard that his best friend became to be a king. And he came to the king and knocked on the door and they let him in. And the king hugged him and told him, I give you now 2 hours, go to my treasure, take whatever you want. And he jumped into the treasures with that letter that he allowed. He got permission from the king to take gold and diamonds, whatever he needs. For 2 hours, for him it was the opportunity of his life. And he's putting on his pockets that doesn't have holes in them. And he had his, how you call that, charity box, the Kufsat Daka. And he's putting in it diamonds, mash, filling it. And he's putting in his hat, holding a few more and going out after 5 minutes. This is it. He doesn't have no vessel. And the guard is looking at him on the moment that he went out. And push him on the floor. And all of the diamonds are falling from the hat, from the pocket. And he's standing up, angry. What are you doing? I have a letter. I'm allowed to take. So he's telling him, all right, I'm sorry, go again and take. And he's entering again and taking more in his pocket. And now he's hiding and holding them strong. And goes outside and looking on that guard. And that guard is kicking him and pushing him again on the floor. And everything is falling down again on the floor. And he's saying, what do you want from me? It's my friend. I'm going to tell the king on you. He's going to punish you. He said, no, I'm sorry. Go again. You can go and take. And like that, 10, 20 times, he's taking and everything is falling on the floor. After 2 hours, the guard is closing the door and telling him, now you can go and bring a big sack to collect all of the diamonds and coins that's on the floor. They all belong to you. The poor man, he himself couldn't realize how much he can take. But the guard, he saw, you got 2 hours and you went out after 5 minutes because you're satisfied. You're losing your future. You can take more. So that guard, he was the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed his mercifulness. To send him to me, to go and take again and again and again. And he's taking more diamonds and more coins. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kicking you back to the field and back to the tshuva and back to the yeshiva. Because if you're going to understand the wisdom of one conversation of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, of one CD of Rav Shalom, one CD you're going to hear, you can live all of your life on that CD. And this is it. Actually, you're going to have a sweet life. But then you're going to have only one CD. But Hashem wants you to learn more and that you're going to come daily to the yeshiva and you're going to have thousands of hours of Hitbodedut. If on every Hitbodedut, after every prayer, you're going to achieve what that you ask, you're not going to talk to Hashem. You're going to talk to Hashem 1 minute a day, and you're going to fix your day. This day you want to buy a Jeep, please, Rav Shalom, give me a Jeep. This is it, finished. Not talking to Him anymore. What do you need to talk to Him? I have my Jeep. Now you can drive, you can do whatever. Next day you need to buy a house, please, Rav Shalom, give me a house. Alright, this is your house. And you will not going to talk to Hashem. Like that king that he had a son, that he saw that he gives to that son and all of the money that he wanted, so he couldn't see his son. His son never came to visit. And then the king told his son, I'm sorry, from now on I'm going to give you the parnasa only once a year. You receive it. So his son came to take the money once a year and he didn't see him anymore. So he said, from now on I'm going to give you the parnasa every month. I'm sorry, I cannot give you enough for 1 year. So he saw his son every month. And then he said, I'm sorry, I'm not able to give you every month. I can give you only every day the parnasa of that day. So the son asked him, Father, why are you doing that to me? There's so much money. He told him, because I love you. Because I want to see you, and you're not coming to visit me if you don't need money. And this is our relationship with Hashem. Like we said a few days ago and yesterday again, that to explain the reality of the being of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a man, it's like to explain to a fish that the water that covers him, that he's swimming in water. You cannot explain it to the fish. Actually, all of his reality depends in that. All of his life, everything depends in the fact that he's going to swim in the water. And water, this is his life. But he cannot grab it. He cannot understand that there is water over there. He's just swimming and he's hungry now. And he needs to get married, to buy a, build a house. And to have children, and this is it, and he's busy, he's occupied. Water, who thinks about water? This is exactly how funny that we look. Hashem Yitbarach is reviving you, you cannot breathe without Hashem. You cannot eat, you cannot have parnasa, you cannot have shalom bayit, you cannot learn Torah. You don't have nothing without Hashem, and Hashem is not in the picture. Why? Because we're dumb. Because we're like, we don't have that. We're like fish, swimming, After last is the stupidest animal of them all, fish. Doesn't have no brain at all. Just swim. Swim, always looking for eat. Stupid. Totally stupid. This is that. No duck. Stupid. Nothing. Nothing in the box. Box of charity. Need charity. Someone can donate. Someone can put something in my head. Get a coin, something, a penny. Something that's going to get inside. Going to make a lot of noise because of the emptiness. An empty vessel make a lot of noise. You want to put one coin and it makes a lot of noise. A full vessel, you cannot hear it. Everything is sitting stable. You want to check the it's empty. The truth is, Hashem Yitbarach is here. How many times we need to escape? Ribono Shel Olam is here. You can talk to him. You can ask from him whatever you need. Actually, you will not going to receive nothing until the rest of your life, the end of your life, without that Hashem going to give it to you. So now, the dignity, the honest thing of them all is just to say thank you and to ask for the things that you need. This is straight wisdom. Ribono Shel Olam, please give me. Even food, you see, food on the table, food ready for you, it's for you, your wife, she cooked, the restaurant, the waiter, he brought it to you, you have it, it's, you cooked it for yourself, whatever, it's yours, you can eat it? No. You have to say, Baruch, Ata, Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech, HaOlam. You have to show that you believe that Hashem brought that food to your plate. And without that you receive, you're stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because you're stealing. Because you're ignoring the Baal HaBayit. You ignore from the Creator. You ignore from the one that He is actually the one that gives you the food. And we need to remind ourselves that again and again and again. And not to be ashamed and not to be scared because of our lacking. So what? We are lacking, so you're failing, so you're falling. So what? You need to fix. And the truth is that righteous people, they feel even worse than us. Because when they're finishing to complete their own tikkun, they start to do tshuva for the public, for other people, for the rest of Am Yisrael. And for them, a man cannot do tshuva for someone else. If you saw someone that sinned, it's hard to do tshuva on him, for him. You don't feel the connection so much. The righteous people are the same. Also, even though that they have a love for Am Yisrael, but still, HaKadosh, when they see lackings of other people, they're connecting it to their situation. Their humility is explaining it to them like they have that lack, like they have that defect. They're doing really tshuva on themselves. So even if they see things that are horrible, that they never done things like that, they never thought to do things like that, actually they are relating it to themselves. It's a rebuke for them from Hashem Yitzbarach. So actually, they are still staying in that status of sinners, even when they're the holiest people of them all. They always feel they're lacking. They always feel like they need to do tshuva. And if I'm doing something, I need to have something to do. If I keep on getting it from Hashem Yitzbarach, so it means I still have things to pay. And they're accepting it with love. And they're suffering. And they're doing more tshuva, and more tshuva, and more tshuva. So, like we said before, that Rabbeinu said, everyone, according to his level, to his aspect, is an aspect of wisdom to the aspect that under it. Like the Rabbeinu said, what that was the crown of the wisdom, that was sitting on the head of the wisdom, so the anava, humility, made to be the heel to her sole of her shoe. Means that humility is higher than wisdom, and the crown, the top, the peak of wisdom is the sole of the shoe of humility. So even if you're, and look which wonderful example Rabbeinu brought, the Gemara brought actually, that humility is higher than wisdom. Wisdom, it's someone that everyone wants. Like the Torah Kedosha, everyone wants to be a Talmid Chacham, or to be called a Talmid Chacham. But humble, no one wants to be humble. That this is actually the purpose, and it's higher than wisdom. Who wants to be humble? Who wants to be humiliated and to love the one that rebukes him? Who's going to ask those things for himself? No one likes it. To be humiliated, to know that you're the last one, to feel that you're all alone, to feel that you need Hashem, that you cannot make it by yourself. Humility is something that people actually hate. Even that it's the purpose, even that it's higher than wisdom, people doesn't want it. Why? Because of the covering, because of all of the hastara that Hashem is hiding. Hashem is hiding because you cannot, like that we said before in the beginning of the shiur, it's too high that people are going to use it. If you're going to let people to be humble, it's they don't have the ability to contain it. They're going to damage with it. He's going to be arrogant because of his humble. He's going to lose it. He's going to ruin it in his own hands. Nimsa, now we can understand שהמדרגה הפחותה, that the lowest level של עולם היצירה of the world of creation הוא בחינת דעת. He is an aspect of wisdom לעולם העשייה שתחתיו, to the world of עשייה, actions that is under it. So נמצא, we can understand שיש אדם, that there is a man שאהבתו, that his love שיש לו עם השם יתברך, that he's got with השם יתברך, במידותיו ובזמן, in his attributes and measurements and in time, means in all of his difficulties that he's got, in all of his limits, הוא בחינות אהבה שבדעת, it's an aspect of love that in the wisdom means highest, highest way of love, שלמעלה מהזמן, that it's beyond time, לאדם שהוא במדרגה פחותה ממנה, to a man that is in the lowest, in the lower level than him, means that you, in the worst day of your life, that you feel that your love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shrinked to the size of a peanut or something like that, and mamash, you need to choose between a peanut to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is a side to say that you're going to choose the peanut in the end. Even in that day, to the man that is under you, if he's looking at you, it's beyond his reach. He cannot understand. Like that one time, I told you that I have a lot of stories now, I realize that, with the conversations, like in therapy, with the conversations you feel that you have a lot more to talk about. Baruch Hashem, we got now, Baruch Hashem. I'm going to give parnasa to the therapist that they're always going to be rich and successful. Baruch Hashem. So, in that time that I didn't have a house, And me and my wife, we were sleeping in hotels and in parents' house and all of those stories, Baruch Hashem. So, like I told you, I was dragging myself to the yeshiva daily somehow, wasn't learning almost at all, but I was sitting and talking on faith and trying to find myself somehow, holding on. And didn't have something else to do also, Baruch Hashem. And one time, one of the friends came to me and told me, no, the truth is I didn't want him to do nothing else. But one of the friends told me, Yishar Koach, that you're holding on so nicely, and told him, what am I doing? Told me, you're holding on. I told him, and what am I holding? I'm not killing myself. What do you mean? I'm not learning, I don't have classes, shiurim, I'm not... just dragging myself to the yeshiva. He said, to keep on coming to the yeshiva daily, it means that you're holding on. And on that you need to have yishar koach, to know, praiseworthy. On the fact that you're coming to the yeshiva, even if you're not doing nothing. Rav Shalom said it a lot of times. So you cannot open a book of Gemara today. You don't have the power. So what? So open Tehillim. You don't even have the power to read Tehillim. Alright, so open a book on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, on Rabbi Akiva. Open children books. I told you that a lot of times. This is what actually that brought all of those children books to be written by Rav Shalom Arush, is the fact that I couldn't do nothing except of sitting in my house and painting. This is the answer. This is how all of that huge light came to the world, because I couldn't learn, I couldn't do nothing, and I was sitting and painting in my house because I couldn't go to the afatzah, I couldn't go to learn in the yeshiva, my wife wasn't feeling good at all, at all, at all, at all. And I had to stay home, and I didn't have nothing to do, and I couldn't go and bring parnasah, I couldn't go and learn Torah, I couldn't do nothing, babysitting wife and kids. And this is it. It was boring. So I decided to paint. I was sitting and I was painting, and this is how that huge light. 10 books or so of Rav Shalom, thousands, tens of thousands of copies. You don't understand. It's written, Rabbeinu said, "Bebreslev yesh inyan sheitapech hakol letova." In Breslev there is that issue that everything gonna transfer to good. And Rav Shalom once told me, "Bebreslev yesh inyan." That issue, you have it in Breslev, not outside of Breslev. Not in every place in the world things become to be good. In Breslev it comes to be good. By the power of Rabbeinu, every word of Rabbeinu is precise. Rabbeinu said, "Bebreslev yesh inyan sheitapech hakol letova." Only in Breslev. Under the private supervision of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. From the moment there is a conversation that is hidden, that Rabbi Nathan was hiding it, that Rabbeinu was talking about the importance of Tikkun HaKlali. And Rabbeinu called the Tikkun HaKlali a pelt. A pelt is
fur coat.
Shirion. No.
Armor.
I'm sorry.
Health in English is a fur coat. In English it's a fur coat. Health is a fur
coat. Shirion. Okay. Armor.
איך אומרים שיריון ביידיש? שיריון. שיריון. I know.
A shield.
Like a German tank, a Panzer tank. Yeah. Okay. So Rabbeinu said that the Tikkun HaKlali, this is a conversation that was hidden by Rabbi Nathan. Rabbi Nathan was hiding that conversation, don't know why. Maybe because he didn't want people to take it and Chas v'Shalom to lose their commitment, their obligation, the strictness to be strong. But Rabbeinu was saying that the Tikkun HaKlali, the Rabbi Eliezer Shlomo Shik, the Maharoshi, is revealing that Sikha, that words of Rabbeinu, and he's explaining that actually the Tikkun HaKlali got the power that after that a man is saying Tikkun HaKlali, it's not only fixing his past, like everyone knows. Tikkun HaKlali is fixing your avonot, your sins from before, just also it creates a bubble, something like a wall, that protects you even for the future. means that even if a man, it doesn't mean that a man will not gonna sin. For sure that it helps also in that, to receive more Kedusha. But it means also that if a man is sinning, his sins will not gonna damage so much like that they were damaging before. This is why it's been hidden. That people will not, chas shalom, gonna feel free, chas shalom, to sin, because now, okay, it's not as damaging. This is probably why Rabbi Natan, from that reason and more, hid that sicha. But we can understand from that what Rabbeinu is saying in the Sipurei Ma'asiyot, that the righteous man, he's got the ability to shoot the arrows, the poison arrows, and also to take them out. So Rabbi Natan in the Kutei Halachot is asking, alright, to take out, I can understand, you have the ability to heal the princes, to heal Bat Israel, Bnei Israel, to heal them. This is the power of the righteous. But why you said that you have the power to shoot the arrows and to take them out? Why are you shooting arrows? This is the job of the Yetzirah to shoot the poison arrows, not the work of the Tzaddik. So, and Rabbi Natan explained that when the man is far away from the righteous man, from the Tzaddik, from Rabbeinu HaKadosh, so then, really, the Yetzirah is shooting the arrows. And the righteous man, he's got the power to take them out. But when the man is getting closer to the righteous man, so then the Yetzirah doesn't have no control on that anymore. And the one that breaks you to parts from that moment and on, it's Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It's the righteous man himself. He is the one that humiliates you. He is the one that pushes you down, and he knows how to heal you. He's cutting you because he's like surgery. He's surgering you. He's fixing you. He's healing you. He's taking care of you. He's healing you and helping you by humiliating you and insulting you. And he knows exactly what the amount that you're capable of dealing with. And he's doing that for you. So this is also a very good thing for a man to remember. All of what that I'm going through, it's from Hashem. It's not from the Yetzer Hara that breaks me. It's from Rabbeinu HaKadosh that builds me. That he's building me. And he gives me more abilities and more wisdom, more sechel, more da'at, more faith. He's building me to get closer to him, more and more. Where are we? Wonderful. Lo b'chinot ha'ava shebedat, l'malah ma'zion, l'adam shu, l'agaf kutam.
Also make sure to come.
Thank you very, very
much. One minute. Okay, Rami Shmuel, Rami, our friend here, and his wife, and his support.